Thanks, Marianne. With less than 3 weeks to go to the fourth global review, I'm happy to report that arrangements are 95% in place. To use a marathon analogy, we've gone through the wall, which is roughly, depending on individuals, between 30 and 35 Ks. And the finish line is in sight. And I think the Aid for Trade team in the Secretariat and at the OECD have worked extremely hard and should be commended for the preparations. And I know also that many of the members have answered in kind, so to say. This review will be our last one, as DG and Valentin, who unfortunately could not be with us today. And I think Aid for Trade has truly become the sort of a global partnership and has taken its place and role in the trade and development caucus, probably more than what I and we expected in 2005 when we launched this initiative. I'm just back from Euregion, Marianne. And I saw that firsthand in Haiti last week at the launch of the Aid for Trade strategy for the Caribbean. And it reminded me of the first regional review of Aid for Trade in Lima in 2007, at which Moreno of the IADB and I set out the case for Aid for Trade in the region. And as compared to that time, what we did and witnessed in Haiti last week was no discussion of definitions, no discussion of philosophy, no discussion of doctrine. It was instead the whole focus on deliverables and how Aid for Trade could be made to effectively work for economic growth and regional integration down there. I understand that was also the case at the Central African Regional Review in March and in a recent trip in Eastern Africa. I also saw how Aid for Trade was being used to improve trade and specifically on customs procedures and border administration. So I think this fourth global review will be a good way to conclude the phase of this work which we've been pushing. And my expectation, and I think I understand the expectation of members, especially on the development side, is that this fourth global review will generate a new dynamic to take this crucial work forward, starting with the ministerial conference in Bali, but also projecting itself in the future. You've probably already had a preview of the program for the fourth global review. It's 20 pages thick. Few numbers, 36 ministers or heads of agencies, more than 30 private sector participants, 24 plenary sessions with 150 speakers, and a similar number across the 31 side events. So if I were Klaus Schwab, I would start becoming jealous. In addition to the panel discussions, this time we will also have music, which you know is one of my secret gardens. We will have photo exhibitions. We will have a beer festival, which is Michael Roberts' secret garden. And we will have a fashion show, which is Marion's secret garden. So I think with this fourth edition, we can reasonably claim we've established this 8 for Trade Review as a prominent multilateral forum for discussing this relationship between trade and development, again, not in an academic way, but in a way that is experience, ground, outcome based. A few more numbers, over 800 pages of analytical material, based on submissions from members, from agencies, from private sector, have been prepared for the global review that will be available online at the event. Again, not doctrine, not philosophy, but experiences, cases, things which have happened or are happening. Of course, one of the purposes of today's workshop, together with the friends from the OECD, is to run through these documents. I'm not going to limit myself to some key messages. First, the starting point for developing countries' policymakers' outlook on value change is how to add value, how to move up the chain. Secondly, another strong survey message from the private sector is that a series of constraints stop them, prevent them, make it harder for them to move up value chains, and we have a rather precise and convergent snapshot of their own view on this. Access to finance, trade finance, customs procedure, lack of regulatory certainty, standard compliance, labor skills are all sort of ranked very high. And these are all areas where 8 for Trade can help and where tangible results can already be shown. I think the survey responses, which is again rich material in my view, also make clear that moving up the value chain means giving more weight to services. And with the new research on measuring trade in value added, showing the growing importance of services in total trade output, it's pretty clear that services are critical and probably more critical than we all thought in the past to adding value. And this is, of course, especially important for developing countries and least developed countries who have, in many ways, a potential comparative advantage to harness services as a proper platform for growth and development. Third main element, partner countries see private investment, both foreign, domestic, as the main source of financing to connect their firms to value chains. The private sector is itself also engaged in an increasing range of value chain development activities. We also know that foreign investment now towers over traditional aid flows, and that trade-related capacity from South-South partners is increasing consistently. But these investment flows also tend to be narrowly focused, particularly in LDCs, and South-South assistance, as we all know, remains underreported in a number of cases, whichever the rationale for this underreporting is. I think 8-foot trade in the future can help leveraging these flows. This has always been one of the cornerstones of the 8-foot trade agenda, not just growing the development assistance envelope, but using it as a leverage to increase the support flowing to developing countries from other sources. Private sector supply chain activities can also be further encouraged, and it's clear, I think, from the responses to the monitoring exercise that that's precisely what the private sector is now doing. And this, in my view, supports moving towards an aid and investment approach, an approach that sees 8-foot trade in the context of other development finance flows. Now, looking ahead to the rest of your workshop today and to the 8th of July horizon, I think there will be plenty of opportunities to develop these ideas further. What I wish to ensure is that 8-foot trade emerges stronger from this review, fit for the challenge of connecting developing countries' firms to value chains and helping them to add value. An initiative strong enough to weather the expected strain in traditional donor funding, and that is flexible enough to respond to the changing conditions of trade, which we know, and both WTO and the OECD keep providing expertise, analytical material on this. We know that the conditions of trade in this world are changing extremely rapidly. In this context, let me just mention the recently published report of the high-level panel of eminent persons on the post-2015 development agenda, which I think is among the sort of blossoming of reports, papers, which is now developing within the UN system, is a good focused piece, at least in comparison with many other material. In this report, the panel calls for, and I quote, a profound economic transformation to end extreme poverty and improve livelihoods. 8-foot trade has, and I think, will continue to make a strong contribution in this regard. I think trade is a critical part of this transformative shift, and 8-foot trade is one of the ways to make it happen. I will further elaborate on some of these ideas at the review, building, including on what your discussions will bring today. Let me encourage you to work with the 8-foot trade team to feed the messages you would like to see coming out strongly out of the review. Again, this is an occasion for many of you to air explicitly your expectations on how this initiative should go in the future. And please use today's workshop, tomorrow's CTD, to help us mapping these issues for you. So, good luck for today's workshop, and I still have a bit of time to take questions which you may have at this stage of preparation.